Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. We're living in a different time and came across something written by a retired teacher, Kitty O'Meara, from the city of Madison in Wisconsin, turned to writing in an effort to curb her own anxiety amid the nerve-wracking news of the COVID-19 pandemic. The result, which she posted to her personal Facebook, has been widely read across the world, offering hope that something good can come out of this collective state of together apart. Kitty O'Meara's poem suggests that we view this era of social distancing as a chance to undertake purposeful activities like meditation, exercise, and dancing, and result in a kind of global healing. And the poem is entitled, And the People Stayed Home. And it goes, And the people stayed home, and read books, and listened, and rested, and exercised, and made art, and played games, and learned new ways of being, and were still, and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced. Some met their shadows, and the people began to think differently, and the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, even the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they had been healed. From Kitty O'Meara, And the People Stayed Home. Very touching poem, something I enjoyed sharing with you, and hopefully you will with others. We had the opportunity and honor to have Marvin Hamlisch on the show a while back, as we did Maureen McGovern, who sings this coming song, and the great Alan and Marilyn Bergman, who wrote the lyrics to the song. It's entitled Ordinary Miracles. Very appropriate to listen to at this particular point in time. So please enjoy Maureen McGovern, Ordinary Miracles. And we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
Change can come on tiptoe. Love is where it starts. It resides, often hides, deep within our hearts. And just as pebbles make a mountain, raindrops make a sea, one day at a time, change begins with you and me. Ordinary miracles happen all around, just by giving and receiving comes belonging and believing. Every sun that rises never rose before. Each new day leads the way. different door, and we can all be quiet heroes, living quiet days, walking through the world, changing it in quiet ways. Ordinary miracles, like candles in the dark, each and every one of us lights a spark. And the walls can tumble, and the mountains can move, the wind and the tides can turn. Ordinary miracles, one for every star. No lightning of thunder, only joy and quiet wonder, endless possibilities right before our eyes. See the way a miracle multiplies. Hope can spring eternally, planet and grows. Love is all that's necessary.
The lyrics from Alan and Marilyn Bergman. Change can come on tiptoe. Love is where it starts. It resides, often hides, deep within our hearts. Maureen McGovern, Ordinary Miracles. And we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. You know, I have not had the opportunity to talk to our first very special guest because he's been busy accomplishing a lot of great things. And, of course, the world has changed. But now is as good a time as any to have him on and chat about an accomplishment and an award that he's just been received. And we're very, very proud of him, as is Chicago. The Joffrey Ballet president and CEO Greg Cameron and board chair Ann Kaplan are exceptionally proud that Ashley Weider, the Mary B. Galvin artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet, has been appointed a member of the most excellent order of the British Empire by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Weider's designation among those announced on the Queen's New Year's Honors 2020 list has been recognized for his exceptional service to the United Kingdom in the field of performing arts. The Most Excellent Order of the British Empire is one of several royal honors that was established in 1917 by King George V to reward outstanding contribution to the war effort. This order now awards people from a wide range of areas. Honors are given on the advice of the Cabinet Office, whose recommendations go to the Prime Minister and then to the Queen, who awards the honor. It is administered to promote the UK's interests overseas, supporting its citizens and businesses around the world. It is a huge privilege to receive this award. My professional life as an artist and as a person was shaped by the teachers, people, and values of my home country, the place where I was first introduced to ballet and where I learned the uplifting power of the arts, said Ashley Weider. To be recognized in this way is one of the most humbling moments of my life, and one that I will cherish forever. And on the line with us right now is the newest member of the Order of the British Empire, our dear friend, the artistic director of the world-famous Joffrey Ballet, Mr. Ashley Weider. Ashley, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, Kevin. It's great to be on your show. What can we say in these very, very challenging times that we are living in? But it's great to be here on the show with you, and great to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you, as it is yours, and I missed you, and we've always had so much to chat about, and I thought the best thing, and I was talking to our friends over at Silverman, I said, let's have Ashley on and chat about, you know, his great award, and do I address you as Sir Ashley now, or how do I exactly address you properly?
I can just be Ashley.
I'll just be who I am.
So if I see you
at the Gage having dinner with Brian and the group, I can say, hey, Ashley, how you doing, buddy?
There you go. That's exactly it. You got it, Kevin.
Well, congratulations are in order. And what a prestigious honor. Were you surprised, or I know you were thrilled to death, but were you surprised when you received this?
I was beyond surprised, actually. It's kind of, you like all of us, we get on with our lives and we try to, you know, make the best of our lives, and we try to give as much as we can to other people. And I think that to have some recognition out of the blue that comes from, of course I was born in the UK, so to have accolades from the UK and from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth for my commitment to the arts and as a British person living in America, and my commitment to the arts here in America as well, it's just it's really incredibly, incredibly important to me, and also I'm elated by it, just elated.
So it was a complete surprise.
It was a complete surprise. I actually got an email from the British Consul General here in Chicago, and it just said secretive information, and it said we would love to find time to talk to you, and it didn't say what it was about. It just said that. So I found the time, and we spoke on the phone, and she said, you know, actually, I am so thrilled to tell you of this appointment. And she said, and you will receive a letter from Buckingham Palace, from Her Majesty, because there is, as you explained at the beginning, Kevin, there is a protocol of how one is nominated and how it's approved. And Her Majesty has the total approval after you go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I was floored, actually.
I can imagine.
You know, I was completely floored. And just really, really emotionally touched. I mean, extraordinary.
Well, you thought the telephone call was that they needed you back at the UK because you served your time in the United States enough, and here you go, they give you a knighthood. So that's quite a change.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, of course, it's not only an honor for you, Ashley. It's an honor for the Joffrey. It's an honor for us all in Chicago. You have become a citizen of Chicago, and you have been such an integral part of the arts and culture of Chicago for so long, and have done such wonderful things with the Joffrey Ballet, not only in Chicago, nationwide and worldwide. It's an honor for us to have of you to receive this award, and for all us to share with you.
I mean, I feel that, you know, and I said this to Anne Kaplan, who is our chair, and Greg Cameron, that, you know, Chicago for me has been such a life affirmative, life changing moment in my life and in my career. And, you know, I am an American citizen now. I love Chicago. I think Chicago has treated the Joffrey Ballet incredibly well. They have treated me incredibly well. And I think that, you know, we have responsibilities to give back to the cities that we love. And Chicago is a city that I truly, truly love.
Well, it certainly shows in the great success that you and the Joffrey and your whole team have had in Chicago and continues to have. Of course, we have reached an impasse here with what we're experiencing, the world, the nation, the city is experiencing, and we'll get back, and we will get back hopefully stronger than ever, and continuing things. And, of course, when we do get back, you have a new home.
We do. We will have moved to the Lyric Opera House, so that is very exciting as well. There's, you know, Kevin, it's kind of interesting. Like, we're all, at shelter. But the work is kind of, the days are extremely busy, because we have not only looking after the company dancers who are all at home, but we have an academy where we're offering kind of 90 classes a week to our online finishing our semester. And we have our community engagement programs, which are still going on remotely. So there is a lot happening. And, you know, interestingly, next week I would have been leaving to go to the UK for my investiture at Buckingham Palace. But, you know, Her Majesty, like myself, is at home in shelter. Our abodes are a little different. She's at Windsor Castle, and I'm here in Wicker Park.
Yeah, you're at Wiener Castle is where you're at.
Yeah, there we go. But so, you know, I got an email from Buckingham Palace saying that obviously they will reschedule when we are all able to come together again. So, you know, there are lots of things that just get put on hold. But I think first and foremost, the wellness and health of all of us is absolutely the number one priority.
Well, no doubt about that. And you're still preparing for next season, which I hope comes sooner rather than later. And you have some great offerings which would be presented, of course. So we start out hopefully in October with Sir Kenneth MacMillan's Mannion.
Yes, which I think is, you know, I originally back in the 70s when Sir Kenneth MacMillan choreographed Manon, I was in it. I was very fortunate to be in it. And I think it's one of his greatest dramatic ballets. Mm-hmm. It is a score by Massenet. It is a fantastic vehicle for a company. And I think that for those people that have seen the Joffrey know that when it comes to characterization on the stage, they are second to none as great actors and sublime dancers. And so I think that Manon is really a vehicle that this company you know, absolutely should dance, and that I've wanted to bring to Chicago for our audiences. So that is very exciting. And we, of course, like everyone else, we're keeping our fingers crossed as to what the next couple of months look like for everybody, what we can do and what we cannot do, and how much time it will take. But rest assured, whatever happens, when we are able to perform again and when we are able to gather again, the Joffrey Ballet will be ready and we will welcome our audience with open arms.
Well, especially with a new home like the Lyric. And it'll be interesting to see what the new normal will be. Ashley, I mean, I know Kimberly and I have had this conversation. Are you going to feel comfortable coming into an auditorium with 3,000 people? I don't know. You know, it's still that unknown there. Masks or no masks, you know, will there be some?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Kevin. And I think, you know, what's really, I think one of the most important things for the Joffrey moving to the Lyric Opera House is the partnership and relationship with the Lyric. And, you know, we've had bi-weekly conversations with Anthony Freud, general director of the Lyric Opera, as well as his staff, and looking at everything, looking at, you know, care and health for our audiences, for our everybody that works for us. So, yeah, it's true. What is the future? What does it look like in order to access buildings on a large public gathering? And so we have copious meetings about that. We are working with, obviously, the Department of Health. We have an amazing team of some of the best doctors in Chicago who specialize in infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that we're trying to get as educated as we possibly can so that the things that we need to implement to make sure that our patrons, whether it's the opera or the ballet, feel that they are absolutely taken care of when they come into the Lyric.
Very important. And it, as funny as it sounds, Ashley, when this all started and we were talking about when will we be able to get back to the theater, entertainment, public spaces and so forth, what popped into my mind was, what are we going to do about, and I thought about my grandchildren, seeing the Nutcracker or seeing A Christmas Carol. And I thought, Are we going to be able to do that? And I know that's the next thing coming up, of course, around Christmas time. It's become a tradition with the Joffrey. What are we going to do with it? We can't miss that, you know?
Absolutely. I think that we are kind of beholden. I do think, though, Kevin, that, you know, whatever we have to do at this particular time, I do fully believe that even if we have to all wait a little bit longer, it is better to be safe than to be sorry.
Yeah.
And I think it's what I said is that, you know, when we can, we will be ready. And I think when we can, it will be because we have looked at every scenario that takes into consideration the wealth and the wellness of our audience. So, you know, yeah, it will definitely be a different time for us. I think, you know, as I said to the company, you know, what we have known before the beginning of March and what we know now and how the world has changed has been devastating for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have, Kevin, you know, in order to keep the company whole, to make sure that we can take care of the dancers, to make sure that we can continue to do online education in our academy and our community engagement programs, we have set up a crisis fund, which we need because, you know, I have been talking to all other artistic directors in America and also in Europe and across the world, and everyone has a different scenario.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that Germany has given $43 billion to the arts.
Really?
An extraordinary amount of support.
Oh,
well, you know, we don't have that here, and there are many other countries that don't have that kind of giving from their government. So we have to find our way to keep producing the very necessary education and also the beauty of the art form that brings absolute joy to millions of people.
And speaking about your group and your team and your troupe, Ashley, you can log on to Joffrey, and there's a workout that some dancers have a workout that they can share with their audience. Correct? Online, if they'd like to log on.
Yes, there are many things that you can access online. You know, just to give your listeners a little update. So, you know, we have company class, which is private because it's everyone in the home doing their exercises.
Sure.
But we did send every member of the company the correct floor, and it's a surface covering that we call a Marley floor, like a lino floor.
Uh-huh.
So it's what we use in the studios and on the stage. So they've been able to really, you know, keep themselves in shape as best they can. Also, there's been a lot of online choreography. So that's exciting. But for our academy and our, you know, 90-plus classes a week, as well as open classes from the Joffrey, as well as community, we also have something called Joffrey Connect, where we take a different choreographer and a different work every week, and we look into it from the point of view of the studio, the dancer, the choreographer. So we will continue that series.
Interesting.
And we also have a wonderful a program called On Cue, which is hosted by our very own wonderful Adam Blythe, who's a rehearsal assistant and a very charismatic host. So he's interviewing dancers, choreographers every week. And that's also a really fun program, which I think we might keep.
And it's simple enough just to log on to your website to access these opportunities.
It is. You can go to, you know, obviously joffrey.org. There's also the Joffrey Ballet Instagram, Twitter, and you can also go to our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy to find it.
Mm-hmm. We need something, Ashley, to continue to stimulate and engage our imagination and stimulate and engage our creativity and stimulate and engage our intellect. And no better way to do that than to keep in connection with the Joffrey and what you're doing and with all the arts organizations in Chicago. There are so many opportunities. The Art Institute is offering programs, as are some of the theaters in and around Chicago, whether it's musical theater or dramatic theater. And we need to do that. It's our responsibility to do that. It's a responsibility to share that with not only for ourselves, but certainly for our children, for our students, for our grandchildren, for each other, because it's a trying time for everybody, unique time, and something we've never experienced before, and something that we all need each other to get through.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we're now, into the 10th week of being at home. And you know, Kevin, I think about Chicago. Chicago has so much culture, so many great programs for kids, for adults, for, you know, whether it's music or art or dance or theater. I mean, it's just, you know, a treasure that we have in the city. And so there's a reason why Chicago is the city it is. It's because the culture and the balance of culture and the balance of sport and lifestyle, they go hand in hand to make a real world-class city. And that's what we are. We're a world-class city. And, you know, we're trying to reach out to the people that, you know, we realize that there are some people that are on their own at home. And so, you know, to have a connection with the things that you love is really important.
Ashley Weider is a treasure for all of us. Classically trained to the highest standards, the Joffrey Ballet expresses a unique, inclusive perspective on dance, proudly reflecting the diversity of America with its company, audiences, and repertoire, which includes major story ballets, reconstructions of masterpieces, and contemporary works. The company's commitment to accessibility is met through an extensive touring schedule and innovative and highly effective education program, including the much-lauded Academy of Dance, official school of the Joffrey Ballet, community engagement programs, and collaborations with myriad other visual and performing arts organizations. Founded by visionary teacher Robert Joffrey in 1956, guided by celebrated choreographer Gerald Arpino from 1988 until 2007, the Joffrey Ballet continued to thrive under the Mary B. Galvin Artistic Director Ashley Weider and President and CEO Greg Cameron. And on the line with us right now is our very, very dear friend and much lauded MBE, Ashley Weider, which we're very proud of. Great to chat with you, my pal. It really is. It's great to hear your voice and great to spend a little time with you because as I said initially, I've missed that and we're going to get back to that. We're going to get back to that sooner rather than later.
I sincerely hope so, Kevin. And I mean, it's so interesting. You know, I had bought myself a really lovely suit and everything to wear to Buckingham Palace to accept my MBE. And, I just have to keep myself in shape so that it still fits when I will get to wear it. So, I will look forward to that.
Well, you have to.
Great to talk to you, Kevin.
You have to keep working out with some of your students, and then you'll be in shape to fit into the suit again. Will you have one of those top hats that they wear?
They give you. There are certain kind of guidelines as to appropriate attire.
Okay.
So I think that I just have a very beautiful suit by Paul Smith, who is a British designer who I've always liked his clothing. So I had it fitted, and I just have to make sure that I can keep fitting into it.
Well, when that time comes, we'll make sure we get the word out and let everybody know.
Fantastic.
Okay, my pal, say hello to everybody for us. God bless you, and we hope to talk to you soon.
And my very, very best to you, Kevin, and to all your listeners, and everyone. Just be safe and be well, and let's embrace the riches that we have, even if we can't see them right now.
Hear, hear. Thank you, my pal.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashley Weider, the artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet, and certainly one of our dear friends. Great to chat with him, and certainly in this new world, it's good to keep in touch with the friends that have been so important to you and in the past, that will continue to be in the future. We are excited about him in his new home, the Lyric Opera, and certainly in his new role as a member of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. We certainly congratulate him on that. And for information or to get on any information with the Joffrey Ballet, joffrey.org, or you can call 312-386-8905. You know, as we talked with Ashley, it just reminded me of something I read. A deep thought from Lao Tzu, who is an ancient and perhaps mythical Chinese philosopher. But maybe what we are talking about touches upon this. And he said, 1,000 years ago, take the world lightly, and your spirit will not be burdened. Consider everything minor, and your mind will not be confused. Regard death and life as equal, and your heart will not be afraid. Interesting thoughts during this extremely interesting times. Little tidbit, this came up in a conversation with our mayor, Lori Lightfoot. She mentioned in her inaugural address, there are 4 stars on Chicago's flag, each standing for a point in our history. The construction of Fort Dearborn being 1 star, the Great Expositions of 1893 and 1933 being the other 2, and the reconstruction of our city following the Great Chicago Fire being the 4th. And she thought, well, maybe now with things the way they are, a little change should be made as what they represent. Now they should represent perhaps safety, education, stability, and integrity. As time marches on, things do change. And those are certainly 4 very important things that are reflective of the people in the city of Chicago. Just a thought that I thought I'd share with everyone. Leo Catholic High School is an all-male Catholic high school in the Inglewood neighborhood of Chicago, Illinois. It is located in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago and home to a predominantly African-American student body. The school is named in honor of Pope Leo I. Established in 1926 by the Congregation of Christian Brothers, their first school in Chicago. Leo Catholic High School has educated thousands of the boys from Chicago's South Side and suburbs. Leo strives to educate the whole person, stressing citizenship, leadership, and good decision-making, all within the context of strong Catholic values, supporting their motto, facta non verba, deeds not words. And on the line with us right now is the 2015 Leo High School Man of the Year, former sports editor of the Chicago Tribune, journalist for the San Francisco Chronicle, Sacramento Bee, and now the Chicago Sun-Times, proud graduate of Marquette University, nationally renowned sports writer, considered one of the most respected journalists in the world of sports writing, and the president of Leo High School, now celebrating, I think, its 94th year in Chicago, our good pal, Mr. Dan McGrath. Danny, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin, it's great to be on with you. Man, that intro sounds like I wrote it myself.
You did, didn't you? No, you didn't. Well, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. And you know, as I talked to you a little earlier, a week or so ago, when we were chatting about coming on the show, what touched me is a nice article in the newspaper about what you and Leo and the staff and the family of Leo is doing for the neighborhood in helping with some food and goodwill and in this time that none of us have ever and hopefully never again will experience.
Right. Something, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, we always say we don't just recruit students, we recruit families to Leo, and this has been an opportunity to keep that promise. We had gentleman named Ray Siegel from the class of 65 gave us a very nice donation to start a relief fund. We named it in honor of another great Leo alum named Bill Kay, who was head of the Bill Kay Auto Group.
Sure.
He passed away in early March. Bill, for many, many years, was one of our most generous supporters. So we set up the Bill Kay Relief Fund, and we have distributed meals twice a week. We distribute gift cards for groceries and prescriptions and other household necessities. And we've also been able to waive or at least defer tuition for any families who have lost their jobs or had their hours cut way back as a result of COVID-19 restrictions. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of restaurant servers and hairstylists and daycare operators and so-called gig economy workers who, their jobs have pretty much gone away.
So we just figured that tuition should be one fewer thing to worry about while all this is going on. So between the tuition waivers and the meals and the gift cards, you know, we're doing what we can to help our family stay whole. And it's been very gratifying. They appreciate the gesture, and I think it's going to help us maintain this robust enrollment increase we've enjoyed over the past 4 years. So, you know, you do what you can. It's uncharted territory for all of us, so we're just trying to be of as much service to the young men and their families as we can. It's a pretty long-winded answer, I think.
No, it's a correct answer, and certainly very thoughtful. And what we're seeing here, and I've noticed, and I speak for myself, but I imagine I would speak for a lot of people, Danny, is that, you know, during this time, you do want to reach out. You do want to help in ways that, you know, if we weren't involved in what we're involved in, we might not. I'm just reminded of a few weeks ago we had the drive, the candy drive for Misericordia. And I've always been on the corner of Adams and Halsted, right in Greektown there, collecting. Well, you can't do that this year. In fact, I have to tell you, a few years ago, I was collecting, and somebody hit me with a car. Somebody hit me. They weren't paying attention. They hit me. And, of course, I had to get a new hip, but it wasn't because of that. But I imagine everything, of course, you know, exasperates the domino effect. But we weren't out there this year. We weren't able to be out there this year. But they collected as much, if not more, this year because, you know, where you normally give a dollar, maybe $5, you put in one of the little buckets that I'd walk around in. Everybody would walk around in the train stations and the corners and restaurants and everything else. People were mailing in or online, I'll give you $10. I'll give you $20. I'll give you $50. You wouldn't do that if you were in a car and you were going to give somebody money. And I think this is what's good about what you have. People see what you have. They've seen it in the newspaper. We're talking about it now. People go, you know, we're going to help out Leo. You know, we're not going to give him $1 or $5. We're going to send $25 or $50, maybe $100. And that's going to help even more than would have helped before. It wouldn't have happened if we're not in the position we're in now.
No, it's occurred to me a few weeks back, Kevin, and I appreciate your donation as well. If the best thing that comes out of this is the genuine value of people helping people, I hope that's the real enduring lesson of all this. Because, you know, we've had really nice support, gifts, and generosity from people who don't really have any ties to Leo at all. But they do see that, you know, we're helping some people who need it at this particular time, and they want to get behind something like that. So, you know, I think we're going to be able to keep this program going all through the summer, and then I'm hopeful that by the fall, you know, some semblance of normalcy will return. But in the meantime, you know, we'll just do the best we can, do all we can to help our families through this, because in the long run, I think it's going to benefit us. I think the parents will feel really good about having their sons here and know that, you know, we really have their best interests at heart, and that, you know, the Leo diploma still means something. So, like I say, uncharted territory for all of us. You just do the best you can and try to help as many people as you can. And, you know, in the end of the day, I think it'll pay off for us down the road.
And I wonder what those parents think, because they're being helped by people they will never know. They will never meet. They don't know who they are. But in their hearts and in their souls, they know that somebody cares.
Well, that's one of the great things about Leo, Kevin. We, as you mentioned, we've been in business since 1926, and around you know, our high school days is when the neighborhood really started to change.
Yeah.
And over time, the white guys got a little squeamish about sending their sons into this neighborhood. So over time, the demographic of the school came to reflect the demographic of the neighborhood. So we've been predominantly, if not exclusively, African-American since the early 90s, and yet the old white guys continue to support us financially very, very generously. They really want Leo to continue. They want the young guys coming up to have the same opportunities that they had. And that's something that doesn't occur often in Chicago, that cross-generational appeal. And I remember Bob Foster was my predecessor.
Sure.
Who passed away in the spring.
You know, God rest his soul.
Bob had more to do with keeping Leo alive than anybody. But I came back for my 25th graduation anniversary, and at the time there was talk about moving Leo to Orland. You know, they need a Catholic school out in that area.
Right.
And Bob got up at the banquet and he said, you know, a mission doesn't change just because neighborhood demographics change. And that really stuck with me. I've always believed that Leo belongs on 79th Street. I think this is where we can do the most good. And yeah, sure, the neighborhood has changed extensively, but the mission remains the same. You know, we take the young men who show up and we try to get them ready for life. And I think we're pretty good at it. We've been doing it for 94 years. And the interaction with the kids, to me, is the best part of the job. So, and they're not all that different from how we were when we were kids. You know, when I first started, oh, what are they like? Well, they're teenage boys. You know, right. You were a teenage boy. Yeah.
You know, I hope they weren't like me.
Well, none of them have your crossover move. I know that. That's how you hurt your hip.
There you go. You know, we talk about Bob Foster. You had great shoes to fill there, Danny, when you took over for Bob. God rest his soul. What a wonderful man. But you've been there now.
Really was.
10 years now you've been there?
Yeah, this is my 10th year.
10th year. And you have it's not only succeeded, you've continued that success, but you've flourished. And God bless you for doing that. And you talk about the people that have been participatory in it. People like Bobby Sheehy from Sheehy Funeral Home. What a great asset he's been. Great, great alumni
Bob is the president of our advisory board, and he was honored. He received our Leo Lyons Legacy Award last year, and, Bob has been an enormous help to me. I just feel I can go to him about anything and, you know, get sound advice. And he loves the place. Jack Fitzgerald is on the advisory board. John Linehan, Bob Standring. You know, there's a core group of guys who, the alumni in general has been phenomenal. Probably 75% to 80% of our revenue comes from alumni donations. So, you know, it's not an exaggeration to say we couldn't do it without them. But the alumni in general has been fantastic. And then there's probably a core group of a dozen or so who they're just there for every single thing we could possibly need. And they make the job a whole lot easier that you're able to go to people like that and, you know you're going to get the help you need.
You know, all those names are dear friends that you mentioned, and it's great to always be with them, always to get together. You know, there's a Latin saying, Danny. It's called Solvitur Ambulando. Solvitur Ambulando. And that it's a Latin phrase which means it is solved by walking. And it's attributed to St. Augustine and people like Henry David Thoreau, Lewis Carroll, Oliver Sacks mentions it. But really, it's the thought of if you got a problem, walk it off, because we live in a perplexing time. And then sometimes walking it off and talking about it makes one feel better. And you know, sometimes I'm walking along and I'm thinking of all the pals that I've had, you certainly one of them. And there's another guy, I thought I'd surprise you a little bit here with a guy who is a friend of yours, and he's going to join us in our conversation, who thinks the world of you and thinks the world of Leo High School, although he's from Little Flower. He's the former president of Brother Rice High School. And I want to introduce him right now, our good friend, Dr. Kevin Burns. Kevin, will you welcome to the Kevin Moore Show? And we got Mr. Dan McGrath on here with us.
Yeah, hi, Kevin and Dan. Nice to be with you.
Kevin, when I started, I had no idea what I was doing, and Kevin was one of the people who reached out to me as a veteran educator, and he was an enormous help. I will always be grateful for that, Kevin. You've been a great friend ever since, and I miss you.
Well, I'm proud to be your friend, but I don't think I can take credit for all the good things that have gone on over at Leo High School. You've just done a phenomenal job, Dan, and you know, I think you ought to be very proud of the team you've put together over there and that the work that you're doing.
Well, it's a team effort, that's for sure. And as I was telling Kevin, our host, earlier, it's a phenomenal thing that the loyalty that this place inspires. There's people who just Pete Doyle, the great Pete Doyle, he was Brother Doyle when I was a student here, and he came back as a principal and teacher and retired about 4 years ago. But Pete always said, God does not want Leo to close. we've had our moments. We've had some days where we had to go through the couch cushions to make payroll, but we're a little better off than that now. But Pete used to tell me that to sort of buck me up, and I really believe it's true. I just think that the need for this place is so great that something from this community and from the city would really be lost if Leo were to go away. And that's why I think so many people are dedicated to keeping it around. So I'm just glad to be part of that effort.
Well, I
think it's really significant, Kevin and Dan, is that Dan has embraced the rich history and traditions of the past and made Catholic education relevant in his community today. I think that's just a tremendous credit to his commitment and to the hard work that he and Shaka and his staff have engaged in.
Well, there's an old saying.
I get a kick out of this. The whole time I was a newspaper editor, which was many years, I could always tell which reporters had gone to Catholic school because they knew how to spell, they knew grammar, they knew how to construct a sentence. I would sometimes call, "You went to Catholic school, didn't you?" "Yeah, how'd you know that?" I said, "Trust me, I know." So only one of the many values that Catholic education imparts.
Let me share a saying, because it's reflective of what you're talking about, Dan, and what you're talking about, Kevin, as it relates to what makes Leo so strong. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is nothing more than just a quiet voice at the end of the day saying, "I'll try again tomorrow." And Leo's been trying for many years and being successful at it and doesn't give up. And it's because of people like Bob Foster and people like Dan McGrath and the friends that are part of Leo and the friends and the friendship that the three of us have shared over more years than I'd like to remember.
and you know, Kevin, and I'm going to let Dan tell the story, but Dan and I have had many conversations over the years, and I thought it was significant one day when he was telling me that how they start their board meetings, you know, with Bobby and Bobby Standrin and Jack Fitz and those guys, that instead of personal and political agendas playing out, they start their board meetings with every board member going around the table and asking Dan what they can do to help him to fulfill the mission of the school. That's an impressive dynamic, and it's a great formula for success. So I'm really pleased for you, Dan, that you have the ability to work in that environment.
Shows we get away with murder.
Nobody disagrees with them. That's the problem.
Well, you know, the arch representatives sometimes were a little appalled by our lack of decorum or Robert's rules or whatever. But, you know, whatever works for you, and that's what works for us. We, you know, we keep it very informal, but everybody's very honest and open, and that's part of the reason why it works. You know, as I said earlier, I can talk to these guys about anything, and you know, I'll get the truth, often unvarnished, but it's, you know, it's what I need to hear, and unfailingly, it's what's best for Leo High School. So it's inspires a lot.
You've done a great job of helping the kids to actualize their faith, and you've certainly raised the academic profile of the school and put some rigor into the curriculum and kept it relevant. And I'm impressed that all of your kids are going to college, and not only that, but they're moving on to success after college and professional careers. I've noticed that you fired several of them to come back to Leo. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's the most gratifying thing, guys. When even over Christmas, you know, if guys are away at college, they'll come back and show up at a basketball game, just say hello, and they just want to check in with us and, you know, let us know that they're doing fine. A young fellow named John Harris came by this morning, and we socially distanced, so I couldn't hug him. But I was so glad to see him. He was he graduated in 2018, and a couple of years ago, the 2017 season, we got to play at Soldier Field. We played Lane Tech at Soldier Field, and I think it was the first time we'd played at Soldier Field since oh, my gosh, the late 70s. So it was a big deal for us. And DeJean scored one of the touchdowns, and, oh, he was so excited. And his older brother, Keith, was a really good running back for us. He graduated in 2012. Keith went on to Northern Illinois and had a very good career. He was injury interrupted, but while he was healthy, he played very well. The first time Keith carried the ball as a collegian, he scored a touchdown against Iowa at Soldier Field. Wow. And now 4 years later, his younger brother scores a touchdown at Soldier Field.
That's
so
great.
I don't know how many brothers have that in common, but they were both terrific kids while they were here. Keith is a policeman. He's in the Harrison district, so he sees a lot of action. And Dijon just wrapped up his sophomore year at Clark College in Dubuque, Iowa. And I just know he's going to be one of our success stories because, you know, they just walked out of here with the understanding that there are possibilities out there, and I think we help them get ready for it.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I think you've done a phenomenal job, Dan. I really do.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
What's coming up next, Dan? Are we going to be able to start school in the fall, or what's the thoughts on that?
I think there's we had a call yesterday with the deputy superintendent in charge of high schools and a bunch of the Catholic school leaders, and the consensus is that we're going to try our level best. There might be, you know, you go to school in shifts. You might go every other day.
Mm-hmm.
We would be able to accomplish social distancing because, you know, the school was built for 1,100 kids, and we don't have that many anymore. So we would be able to space the kids out, you know, meals. And there's a million little details that mm-hmm. have to be addressed. But the arch, sure, I mean, I online learning, it's been very interesting. It's been very good. I've been very proud of how our kids have embraced it and how the teachers have really, really gone out of their way to make it work. I think we've done about as well as we could. But everybody knows it's really difficult, especially among younger kids. So I think the feeling among the arches, we're going to do everything we can to be back in school come the fall. Now, again, we don't have control over that, but I do think every attempt is going to be made.
That's good. Well, it's a new world we're trying to navigate, and we're trying to do the best we can. And you do have to give a lot of credit to the teachers with the e-learning because it's certainly new, and it's difficult to keep that attention span for those guys that are on the computer all the time.
We've done what we can. We do. Yeah. We have check-ins twice a week. Yeah. We're having out at the end. We've talked to all the seniors. They know exactly what they. Most of them are in good shape, but the two or three who aren't, we've set up remediation plans so they can graduate. We're going to try to graduate in August. Now, I don't know that we'll be able to, but. Graduation for our families is such a big deal.
Sure,
I mean, unbridled joy of the fest.
Sure.
That's my favorite day of the year.
Sure.
And, it, you know, it's sad to say this, but it's true. It's not just the accomplishment. It's that they made it to 17 or 18. You know, didn't get didn't fall victim to the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So the incredible joy of our families at graduation is just, you know, I don't think you'd get the same thing with a Zoom ceremony or even these nice little parades that I'm seeing. So we have tentatively scheduled it for August 2nd in the hope that the restrictions will either be lifted or relaxed by then so that we'll be able to do something. And if not, you know, we'll adjust and do something else. But we're very hopeful that we'll be able to give these boys the appropriate send-off.
Hope that works out. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to have you on the show to chat a little bit.
Great to be on with you, and Kevin Burns was a great surprise. Thank you.
Dr. Kevin Burns from Little Flower, of course, former president of Brother Rice High School, superintendent of Illinois School District 218. I'm glad you came and joined us, Kev, because I know it was a little surprise here that
you gave. Well, it's my pleasure, Kevin. I appreciate being a part of it.
He hired Jack Fitzgerald, and I believe he sent him Dwayne Wade. I'm not sure how he arranged that, but I have to give Fitz
credit for that. I was involved with hiring Fitz, but he does such a great job, or did such a great job as a coach, that everybody wanted to play for him. So that's his credit directly.
You know, he still helps out here, and we have an alumni picnic every fall, or every August rather. And the line of guys waiting to talk to Jack, say hello to Jack. You know, he could be a crusty, curmudgeonly guy, as we know, but every one of those kids who played for him, I don't think they would trade the experience. The line of people who want to say hi to Coach Fitz is always very inspiring.
Leo Strice.
Yeah, a lot of good stories there, too, Dan.
Oh, boy. Another show.
All 60 minutes. Leo strives to educate the whole person, stressing citizenship, leadership, and good decision-making, all within the context of strong Catholic values, supporting their motto, Facta non verba, deeds, not words. On the line with us right now is Dr. Kevin Burns, former president of Brother Rice High School, and our good pal Dan McGrath, the president of Leo High School. Danny, if people would like to participate, help out Leo in any way, make a donation to the great things you're doing, how would they go about doing that?
There's a PayPal donation button on our website, which is just www.leohighschool.org. Leo High School is all one word. Or they could just mail a check to 7901 South Sankman, Chicago, 60620.
Dan, Kevin, stay safe. God bless you guys. I'm honored and I'm blessed to have you as friends for as long as we've been together, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, you as well, Kevin. Thanks. Great to talk to you guys.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thank you.
What a treat to have both Dan McGrath and Kevin Burns, Dr. Kevin Burns, on the show. Dan, of course, doing great things, following the footsteps of Bob Foster, who did such wonderful things at Leo High School, and Dan McGrath carrying that legacy as strongly as ever. And as I said before, even making it successful, it's flourishing. And if you can help in any way, please, please give Dan a call, 773-224-9600. Donations, big or small, anything that can help out. And, of course, it's always good to have our good pal Kevin Burns on the show, who's done such great things for education in the Chicagoland area in general. And we wish them both well, and certainly stay safe. Look forward to being with them soon. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guests, Ashley Weider, the artistic director of the world-famous Joffrey Ballet, and having been appointed a member of the most excellent order of the British Empire by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. What a great honor, always a great opportunity to chat with Ashley. And if you'd like to touch base with what's going on at the Joffrey, see some of their presentations and offerings, joffrey.org or call 312-386-8905. And Danny McGrath, the celebrated journalist and sports writer and president of Leo High School, celebrating its 94th year and his 10th year as president, helping out the community in Englewood and doing great things at the school. For information, 773-224-9600. And it was great to be joined by our good pal, Dr. Kevin Burns, to chat a little bit about what's happening at Leo High School. Finally, a famous writer once said, "One ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words." I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And it, as that British group once said, "And in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make." Have a safe Memorial Day, stay safe, and have a great day.
Try with every day to make it better as it grows. Any luck then I suppose. The music
the music.